Game On.
Game On.
2FM.
You're listening to the Game On podcast. You can join us nightly on 2FM, Monday to Friday from 7. It's Gaelic Games next, where from a hurling perspective, Cork and Waterford meeting in the pick of the weekend's championship games this weekend. Their encounter gets underway at Semple Stadium at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and so for many people begins the race to take Clare's All-Ireland crown. No doubting 2013 exceeded many people's expectations, not just in terms of the quality of hurling, but equally in terms of the openness of the championship. So are we at the start of a new era with multiple teams rather than the chosen one or two starting out each year as solid championship contenders? Well, Damien Lawler's new book, Fields of Fire, the Inside Story of Hurling's Great Renaissance, will hit bookshops tomorrow morning. It has often been put, say, that the mid to late 90s was the golden era for hurling. Is there a strong case that can be made that if things were to continue as they did last year, we could well be in the middle of the real golden era now?
Yeah, last year was unbelievable. And I mean, the 90s were the best time ever for hurling because you had Wexford, you had Clare, you know, you had Limerick coming so close, you had Offaly, Kilkenny 1-1, Tip 1-1. Everybody got a shot at it, but it dried up then for a good decade. There's no point in saying otherwise. Kilkenny won 9 out of 13. It wasn't too long ago that people were looking for the Leinster Championship to be disbanded. People were saying that Laois had no business in inter-county hurling. Mm-hmm. Antrim were a joke. Galway were at nothing because they'd come down into an All-Ireland semi-final, a quarter-final, and get absolutely hammered. Then they got into Leinster. Dublin woke up. You know, Cork had strife and unrest, but you know, they did well for quite a while too. They won two or three All-Irelands down there. Tipperary got on. And suddenly then you had the fruition last year whereby a number of counties came good at the right time. And Kilkenny and Tip were gone. It opened up the whole thing. Every week got better and better. I came back from Semple Stadium. Kilkenny went to extra time with Waterford. They beat them. I don't know how they hung on because they had beaten Tipperary a week before. Earlier that game, Clare had drawn with Wexford. And I said to myself, this is just incredible. And I felt I had to make some sort of a statement. And I think over the next 5 years, you're going to see 3 to 4 winners. And this book is hopefully going to preempt that and demonstrate the work that other counties have put in.
How do you analyse it? Did the chasing pack get better and the top two dropped off?
Yeah, or is it's the a very truth, good
does,
question.
Does the truth exist somewhere in
somewhere
between?
Somewhere in between, yeah. I would feel that, like, process of fodder time and a few injuries caught up with Kilkenny. And the others definitely improved as well. Like Dublin, for example, matched Kilkenny's physicality. Dublin also matched their tactics. Cork took Kilkenny on, they ran at them. Tipperary exploited the space around the Kilkenny backs, but it took an awful long time for counties to catch up with them. And even though Tip caught up with them, they haven't pushed on since. They've only beaten them once or twice since 2010, and they've lost 10 out of 11. So in that regard, Kilkenny will argue that they haven't caught up, and probably rightly so.
When we look at it, a large part of the challenge that Kilkenny face as well is that Ned Quinn, many, many years ago, well in advance of anyone else, had the foresight to put in a proper structure. Brian Cody was appointed as the man who could harness everything that was available within the county. And they, in effect, had the blueprint on how to run a sporting system or a hurling system within a county. The problem now is everyone else has started to see that and has their own structure.
Yeah, and I, from talking to the guys in the book, Kilkenny were quite generous helping other counties. Like the Clare lads will tell you, it was the Kilkenny template that they followed, and people like Ned Quinn and Richie Mulrooney were very, very helpful. And Ned Quinn doesn't get a lot of credit to the outside, but he's very prominent in this book in terms of the structures that he facilitated. And they went over to Arsenal to the Highbury Academy to see how things happened over there, and they felt that the coaches worked with the ball maybe twice a day, but the Kilkenny mentors realised that they only had their players twice a week for an hour each time, so those hours had to count. But if they're being honest with you, I think that trip showed that Kilkenny were doing all the right things anyway. It was just a matter of keeping it honest. But John Power maintained in the book that he came home early in the Brian Cody era with a pair of boots one night and a pair of runners the next, and wet gear well in advance of the wet weather. And he just said, you know, he'd been off the squad for a year or two at this stage. He said, this is changed. This is different. And they set the template for everybody else.
And we'll talk about the other counties in a second, but before we, just to finish on Kilkenny, Cody, greatest manager of all time.
People Without
will,
doubt,
will talk about. People ask already what will happen when he decides to depart stage left. But there's an almost necessary cruelty in there as well, that, you know, that parallel with one little soldier sacrificed every so often just to make sure the rest don't take one eye off the ball.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I suppose the only difference, and I have a chapter devoted to that in the book, Damien, it's kind of like nothing to see here in terms of every county, be it Tipperary with certain eras, Cork with the strikes, Waterford with certain managers, every county has had a crisis or problems and the wheels have come off and it has affected them. But Kilkenny have lost big name players like Charlie Carter, Brian McAvoy, Philly Larkin, Dennis Byrne, Chaff, it's Patrick. And you know, the list would be quite considerable. Now, people will argue over 10 years, that's natural. Most of those players, though, probably would feel that they had under a year or two left. And then certainly in Chaz's case, it wasn't that long ago he was Hurler of the Year and stuff. So the point I'm making is, in Kilkenny, they just got on with it. And they were allowed. There was never any big smokescreen about it or a big hoo-ha. They just got on with it. You know, DJ made the point that when he retired, he was forgotten about the following Tuesday. People were in the dressing room looking for his jersey. And that is the great thing in Kilkenny. And perhaps it was only last year that we seen maybe there was a little bit of shortage in their squad. But I remember John Milan telling me that he looked at the Kilkenny subs list after they'd beaten them in the All-Ireland final, and he just said that he saw eight guys that would make any All-Star team. And, you know, they're documented in the book as well.
And I think the image of John on the pitch after that All-Ireland final, for many people, defines sportsmanship in this country. If we talk of the other counties, though, more often than not, there's too many stories of, in effect, like self-combustion that... A row, a strop, a falling out, a managerial departure, something that should have been controlled better, which, okay, it's hindsight and, you know, we never know for sure what would have happened, but you could say would have robbed counties of their breakthrough year.
Sometimes you can't explain it, like Galway in 2013. After 2012, they should have been gunning and should have been capable of getting over the finish line, but they were nowhere to be seen. Sometimes in Tipperary's case in 2010, October, I think it's October 16th, Liam Sheedy walked away, and they had spent 3 years catching Kilkenny, and they finally caught them, and Sheedy walked away, and his whole backroom team, well, you know, as much as possible was kept on by Declan and Tommy Dunn, and those two guys were brave enough to put their hands forward and take the job, and they won two Munster titles. But talk to any Tipperary player and they were flabbergasted by Sheedy's departure and Eamon O'Shea's departure and Mick Ryan, and O'Shea and Mick Ryan are back now, but you're still trying to recreate what they had back then 4 years on. And I think, you know, Lara Corbett cried when he heard the news. Brendan Cummins tried, I think he took the day off work. Paul Curran heard about it and he described it like a punch to the tummy. He had to go in and teach a group of primary school kids. Then after that, they tried to get Sheedy back through with Darren Gleeson, but Darren is a club mate of Sheedy's, and he said, waste of time, the man is gone, and that's it. And that was their JFK moment. They never really regrouped from that.
And then you develop it beyond that. We seem to have more player pushes against managers in this country than, well, in hurling maybe, than in any other sport. And, and again, you're wondering, and you document different counties within the book, what could have been had it been a more settled camp?
It's a small fraternity, you see, especially in Munster hurling, and people talk quite a lot. And a lot of players know each other very well from Fitzgibbon Cup, and rival counties players from those teams share houses with each other, and they speak to each other quite a bit. And if they hear that team A is getting A, B and C and they're not, it's brought up, and certain managers will say, look, we're not going down that road. And at least the friction, and one or two bad results, one or two key players not getting games, one sourpuss in the camp is all it takes. And suddenly, before long, as Michael Ryan found out, I think he was harshly treated, to be honest with you. I think Derek McGrath is a fine coach and was going to manage Waterford someday. But Michael Ryan probably deserved a little bit better, to be honest with you. But that's just one example of how impatient. Wexford have had it as well. John Myler was hard done by in Wexford as well. So I can name you four or five counties. I think Gerald McCarthy will argue that he never had a chance in Cork the way he was treated. The point we're making is, throughout all of that, Kilkenny just sail further and further ahead.
Yeah, the stability. Of the counties you examine and of the counties you went through, Antrim, you've been telling me, the one that intrigued you the most.
Yeah, because they have the ability, they have the potential, they have the individuals. Liam Watson is the best player in Ulster. He's not on the Antrim team at the moment. So every time I try to put a positive spin on stuff in Antrim, one of their own people would say to me, look, we're killing it ourselves. The attitude is wrong. The county board don't give us enough finances. And then people say we don't get enough help from Croke Park either. So whether it's their own fault or whether it's the fault of outsiders or somewhere in between that they haven't pushed on, I don't know. They are capable of an upset, but all too rare it is, unfortunately. Wexford's resurgence, and they haven't won anything yet now, but they are coming good. That has me intrigued. They've put a huge amount of work in. And Liam Griffin has gone right back to the helm. Under 14, they've all the right people, and that will have an effect in 5 years' time. They will be a force, and they'll be probably a force before then.
Is there a county that you would worry about more than
I'd worry about Offaly? They've an awful long way to go, and I mean, I don't mean Brian Whelan or his senior team or anything like that. Brian Carroll made the point to me in the book that in all his years playing with Offaly, he's not hurling to August yet. So obviously, Brian Whelan is an iconic name, and he's probably the right man for the job in terms of getting morale up, but I don't think it's anything got to do with what at his disposal. It's under 14, under 16, under 18. They play their hurling games in Tullamore as well, which doesn't go down well with the hurling heartlands. So Offaly have a long way to go, even though their club scene is quite strong. But the population is small. Finances are tough down there as well. their footballers are not going great either. So they have a long road to travel to get back to what they were at.
You start the book or very early on talking about Clare and the image of Lochnan as a school principal having these mini games in the schoolyard, and the guys who were tearing into each other then are winning All-Ireland medals.
Now,
there's a remarkable level of potential there if Davy can keep that group as focused as Cody has managed to do in Kilkenny.
Yeah, because I watched him out in the All-Star trip in Shanghai. We were out there before Christmas. And
hard life you have,
isn't it? It's a tough gig, yeah. And I'd like to say I cleaned up a load of interviews out there, but I didn't. And the honest answer is that they look after themselves so well and they're so respectful and they're such a nice group of lads that they have a great chance. Like, they should win another two in the next 5 years anyway. I don't know what they'll do it this year. It'd be very, very hard for them, but I think Davy Fitz will be well up for that as well. But they've got a great chance, particularly the style that they play. And the great thing is that I expect three new players to forge their way onto the team this year. They've got guys coming from underage in fairly impressive droves. And more importantly, Damien, the style that they play at under 21 level, Paul Kinnerk is the common link there. So they all kind of play a similar style. So as you've seen from Shane O'Donnell making a step up this year, there's no great shift in emphasis needed. They play to a style they're familiar and comfortable with. Having said all that, it was only about 16 months ago that Davy was getting effed and blinded from the sideline because they were playing too much of a sharp passing game. So it's a fine line. Their season only kicked off after they got out of jail against Wexford. But look what happened. Will you see the same levels of excitement this year around? I'm not so sure, but you won't be far off.
It's an enjoyable read. I suspect you'll have plenty of people looking to talk to you about elements that are within it when you're on your travels across the Championship. Fields of Fire, the inside story of hurling's great renaissance, written by Damien Lawler, published by Transworld Ireland. Thanks as always.
A pleasure, Damien.
Game over.